Proverbs to start off with. You want to be seated, Proverbs. One of my messages, we're going to hurry into this. And I hope if you want these mind messages on depression or anxiety or whatever we've been doing, you get those and give those out, and that'll be a help to people. Proverbs chapter 24, I'm going to read a couple verses. I'm going to read one verse in Proverbs. We'll go back there a little later. Then I'm going to go to 2 Samuel after that. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's pray. We're going to talk about thinking that finds forgiveness after falling. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the chance to preach your word. May we find this forgiveness that you have. Lord, we know we aren't perfect. We know that all sin and come short. We pray you'd help now and speak to our hearts. May the Spirit of God be in this room in a powerful way. May you heal minds and hearts today. And may you transform lives through your word. We pray for your Spirit to move powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Both of them fall. A just man falls seven times. The wicked falls into mischief. They both fall. What happens when you fall determines what happens to you the rest of the time. Determines if God uses you again. And determines how God uses you. Let me take you back to 2 Samuel and chapter 12. I'll be reading out of that. 2 Samuel chapter 12. You can listen along or if you have your Bible, read along. Either one. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In this story, David had done terrible things. You would call David a terrible person. The wonderful person who wrote Psalms 23, the wonderful man after God's own heart who did so many amazing things for the Lord, that great man of God who wrote so much scripture, who did God use, had done some very wicked things. He started off, he saw a woman on a rooftop. First of all, he should have gone to battle. He didn't go to battle like he should have. And he went on his rooftop, saw a woman taking a bath who was very beautiful, named Bathsheba, and he called her to his house and committed adultery with her. She was married to another man who was at the battle, named Uriah, a very valiant man. And he committed adultery with his wife while he was at battle, where David should have been. Well, sin usually takes you farther than you want to go. And so sin did. And so she sent a note back and said, I'm pregnant. And he said, oh no, this is terrible. So he called Uriah, her husband, back from battle and said, go be with your wife. And he acted like he was just getting a report. He began to deceive. And Uriah gave him a report, but he wouldn't go back because he said, you know what? All the other soldiers are sleeping under tents, and I'm not going to go and be with my wife during this time and have all those comforts. And so he slept outside of the gate. And David tried to get him drunk, and David tried every possible method he could. And Uriah did not give in. We're recording, videoing, right? Correct? All right. And so David tried all these things. Uriah was a good man. He wouldn't do it. And Uriah went back to the battle and went back with his fellow soldiers. Well, in the end, David said, we've got to do something about this. It's going to be found out. He was hoping that when Uriah went and be with his wife, everybody just assumed it was Uriah's child and it wouldn't be found out. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It's following you. Sometime it's going to catch up to you. And so David said, well, we've got to hide this then. And Uriah is going to know. And so he basically, in the end, he said, go and attack the city you're attacking and go to the wall of that city and put Uriah at the very front. And then when the battle gets very intense, everybody fall back and let Uriah be killed, which is what happened. And God said, you murdered Uriah in the end. Well, Uriah died. And David thought, okay. And so he brings Bathsheba to be with him and makes it his wife and assumes everything will be okay and nobody knows about it. But at the end of chapter 11, it says, And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. So David said, everything is okay now. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So no, it wasn't okay. God still wasn't happy. You can fool every human, but you can't fool God. God sees everything. And so, in the end, God sends a prophet to David and says, you're the wicked man who did this thing. You did a terrible thing, and you're guilty. And Nathan, the prophet, comes to him. Verse 13 of chapter 12, it says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion of the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that also that is born unto thee shall surely die. A lot there. The first thing is, you ruined the testimony and made God look bad. And we're so worried about whether we get caught. God's saying, you ruined my name. You said you're a Christian and you did this. I've told you 1,000 times. But don't go say you're part of Open Door Baptist Church, and don't tell people you're a Christian if you're going to live wickedly. Don't ruin God's name. It's sacred. Okay? If you're going to play games, don't tell me go to this church. Say you're a Jehovah's Witness or something, all right? But don't tell me go to this church, and don't tell me you're a Christian. Go ahead and lie. Don't lie. Best thing to do is live it. But don't ruin the reputation of God. And you don't really get away with anything. David found forgiveness here. But I want you to notice just something. Just remember and keep in mind, David found forgiveness in his relationship with God. He did not find a removal of consequences. He said, you're forgiven, but the child is going to die. The baby who's going to be born is going to die. And understand, your actions affect your children, but that's not always the way God works. In this case, he did. But understand, please understand this. I find people so shocked at this and not understand the Bible concept. Just because God forgave you does not mean there's no consequences. It just means your relationship with God is restored. Okay? If God forbid you go out today and you go and say, you know what, I'm going to go drink and drive, and you go drink and drive, and you get arrested, and you get right with God and say, God, I should never have done that. I'm so sorry. And you're in the jail cell and you confess it to God and say, I'm so sorry, God. God will forgive you, but the judge might not. You'll still face consequences. If you go overdose on drugs and you mess up your mind, God will forgive you. Doesn't mean your mind's healed. Sin has consequences on earth. God will forgive you. And God's merciful and good, but there are still consequences to your action. People are shocked at that. People are amazed at that. People get angry with God about that. You go out today and you go and you blow all your money at the casino, and then you say, oh God, forgive me. God will forgive you, but you still don't have any money. There's consequences to sin. And being right with God doesn't change those consequences. Don't smoke for 40 years and say, God, why'd you give me cancer? Don't do that. Okay, it's not logical. Okay, it's not biblical. You get consequences for your actions even when God forgives you. So don't sin lightly and think it's just going to be okay. There are consequences to our actions even though God is merciful and forgives us. And so he found that. And he got forgiven. Now, the good thing is God used him again. Watch how David ended up, God forgave him, God used him again. Look at chapter 12, verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son and called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. God gave David and Bathsheba, that couple who started all wrong, a child who is to become the wisest man who ever lived, who would write multiple books of the Bible, who God loved in a very special way. After David did this sin, he wrote scripture. He wrote many wonderful psalms after this. God used him again. And he had a good life. And God blessed him. Now, that's some consequences. We understand that. However, God still used him again, and he was still blessed. And he still saw great things. And he still saw God bless his son and let his son build the temple and many things. See, David understood it, and David got it. And David found forgiveness that he got back up. See, a just man falls seven times, but he riseth up again. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you have a God that can use you again. The question is will you get back up? Will you get back up? And whether you get back up usually is determined by whether you understand the right way of thinking about God's forgiveness and how to get forgiven and how to get right with God and how to let God use you again, because a just man falls seven times. Seven is the number of completion in the Bible. He falls, but he always gets back up and God uses him again. But the wicked, when they fall into mischief. David understood this, and God used him again. I'm going to give you some quick points about how David understood this and thinking that finds forgiveness after falling, because we fall sometimes. But you know what? God can still use you and forgive you, and you can still be blessed if you'll get it right. Number one, he was very clear that he did wrong. In verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." We find other kings that were rebuked by a prophet, and they got very angry at the prophet, but not David. David said, "I've sinned against the Lord." Now, I'm going to take you, keep your finger there, but I'm going to take you to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote after he had sinned, and where he confesses his sin and he gets right with God, and it's a song. By the way, it's in the front of your bulletin today. David, it was very clear that he did wrong. Psalm 51 in verse 1, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge it." He called it sin. And he said, "It's my sin." I want to be clear about that. We have an issue with this. Everything now is somebody else's fault. Everything now was, "I was born that way." You were born a sinner, yes, and you choose to sin. Now it's a disease. It might be a disease, but it's a sin, if the Bible says don't do it. Nowadays, it's because I was born that way. It's because my mom was like this, because I came from a family like this. No, you chose. Sin is still sin, and it's still wrong. It doesn't matter how you justify it. You can live together and say it's because we love each other. It's still sin. You can get drunk and say it's a disease I have. You're still choosing to get drunk. I have that disease. I grew up with it. Okay? I choose not to get drunk anymore. Okay? It is not cancer. It's not cancer. You don't drink cancer and say, "Oh, I couldn't stop myself. I just drank cancer. I got it now." That's not cancer. Okay, it's not that. Because you're mistreated as a child doesn't mean you mistreat your kids. It'll be sin. You abuse your kids, it'll be because you chose to and you did wickedly. Not because you're brought up in a certain family. Quit blaming everybody for everything. It's sin. You do wrong. I do wrong. Admit it. You will never get right with God. You will never get right with God until you're honest that you chose to do wrong and sinned. Name it and call it what it is. If we confess our sin, I don't say it as a mean person. I say that as the person who works with sinners more than anybody you know. I'm in the jails. I'm in the prisons. I'm in the everywhere. I'm with sinful people who've done bad things. Every kind of sin you can imagine, I've worked with and helped people and loved them. And I love addicts and I love people who've done all kinds of bad things and help them and work with them. But I never can help them until they're honest. I was down here at RJC one time. I was talking to a guy. and sat down with him and said, "Man, how you doing? What can I do for you? Just let you know I'm here for you." And he began to blame other people. He broke in his girlfriend's nose and gave her two black eyes and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, "You did wrong." He says, "Well, it's her fault." I said, "See you later, man." Click. He started screaming, why are you leaving? I said, "I can't help you. You're going to do it again. It's not her fault. She did not run her nose into your fist." And I said, "I'll come back again in a week. If you think you can admit you did wrong, we can work with you. I can't help people who didn't do wrong. I don't care what she did. You don't do that. I can't help people, and God doesn't forgive people if they don't admit they did wrong. God just forgave a murderer and an adulterer when he said, 'I've sinned.'" But you've got to say, "Well, it's just my culture." Then your culture does wrong things. Listen, I go to one country where the women, men beat their wives. I go to another culture where everybody drinks. I go to another culture where, and it's, listen, it's wrong. Just because your culture does it doesn't mean it's right. American culture does all kinds of bad things. It's part of American culture. Okay? They neglect their kids and watch TV all day and don't spend time with their kids. Oh, it's okay. That's an American thing. No, it's a wrong thing. It's a wrong thing. Sin is universal. Okay? And so you've got to be honest. And if you cannot just say, "I chose to do this. I was wrong." You got revenge. Well, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't have. And that was their sin. And they need to confess that. But you got revenge. That was your sin. Every man gives an account of himself to God. You have to be honest with God. Or you can't get fixed. You just can't. Got to quit blaming somebody else. Not because you're born that way. Not because you're part of that race. Not because somebody did you wrong when you're young. It's not. It's because you choose to do wrong. It's not because your family did a whole bunch of that. Listen, I understand. These things that happen to us make it much harder not to do certain things. Understood, granted, and true. Okay? I grew up in a drug and alcohol family. An abusive family. Okay? I grew up in all that. I grew up in a divorce family. Okay? I'll choose if I get divorced. It won't be because I grew up in that family. I'll be married the 21st. I'll be married 23 very happy years. I'm not a victim of the family I grew up in. I choose to be nice. It's amazing when you choose to be nice, how all of a sudden you don't, it doesn't get passed down to you. Grew up around alcohol my whole life. Got saved, started serving God, quit drinking. Okay? They say that my genetics, because I was in my, you know, that I have it in my system and I grew up around it, so I'm an alcoholic. Okay. I'm an alcoholic who doesn't drink. Okay, fine, call me that. Whatever you want to call me. I'm fine with that. Doesn't matter. I choose not to do it. Okay, I smoked pot the first time I was in third grade. Started taking drugs. I choose not to. Just because my brother's a drug dealer and did drugs in my house all the time, and all the time we had drugs in the house and druggies, and doesn't mean I you choose. You're free. I have an almighty God who can set me free. I don't have to be in bondage to what I was brought up with. I have a sober mind because the Bible says, be sober. So I don't take drugs. I don't do alcohol. I don't go abuse my kids. Hey, I was beaten with 2x4s. I don't beat my kids with 2x4s. Choose not to. You can choose things. Quit saying you're a victim. Stand up and conquer through the Almighty God. And those who say, "I just couldn't resist." Yes, you could have. If I said you get $1 million if you don't do that today, you could have resisted. You can resist. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Say, "Lord, I blew it. I sinned." Boom! You've got a merciful, Almighty God. You got to quit being a victim. You got to admit. David started off being very clear he did wrong. No blame is somebody else. If you confess our sins. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Good night. If I run over on time, I'm a victim of circumstances. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. When you repent, repentance is the action of changing your mind about your sin and confess them. You will find forgiveness. Number two, he did not get bitter because there were consequences. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. He did not get bitter because there are consequences. Boy, this is it's going to be a rough message today, folks. Just going to be rough. But you will find, if you will do these things, you will find wonderful freedom and forgiveness and victory. And you can get back up and quit living in defeat. And you can have a great life serving God. But you got to follow these principles. David was very clear, he did wrong. Number two, he did not get bitter because there are consequences. Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that his child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is your child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Verse 23, he knew he'd see him in heaven someday. The child would never suffer any pain. Verse 23, now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. By the way, that's one reason we know that children, when they die, they go to heaven. When infants, David said, I'll go to him. He's in heaven now. He's not going to suffer at all. I'll suffer more than him. David said, you know what? I'm worshiping God. His consequences, I don't understand sometimes when we do something wrong, then we get mad at God for the consequences. Don't do that. Just say, you know what? There's some consequences in my action. Very important to understand, in this reset button world, people are shocked sometimes at that. Don't be shocked. If you do something bad and bad things happen, don't be shocked. How many times have I seen a couple and one's mistreating the other, then the other one says, I can't believe they left. Really? You can't? Why not? They told you they were going to. Why don't you think they really would? Well, you were nasty. Why are you surprised? Well, I don't understand. I've seen people who did crimes and say, I can't believe God's letting this happen to me. God? You know, it's strange. God doesn't let that happen to me for some reason. Isn't that amazing? You genuinely, God doesn't let bad, God does not let people get arrested for stealing when they don't steal generally. Okay? Just in general. You know, God doesn't get me accused of murder for some reason. Okay? I don't understand why God, sometimes in life bad things just happen, ask Job, I understand that, but don't be shocked at consequences. I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised worse things don't happen to me. Is it the Lord's mercies we are not consumed? I'm always shocked when somebody says, why did this happen to me? I can't believe a bad thing happened to me. I always think, man, I wonder why more bad things don't happen to us. If I got what I deserved, I'd be a crispy critter. God would zap me in a minute. If I were God, I would have already thrown some lightning bolts at me. How many of you say, you know what? I've gotten mad at myself before. God's been merciful to me. Don't be shocked at consequences. Be thankful they're not worse. Be thankful that God has not given you. It's like the always thing. It's like, I can't believe I wasn't really speeding this time. But how many times were you when you didn't get caught? Realize God doesn't want to punish us, but he has not punished us according to our iniquities. It is by the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. It's not why did bad things happen. It's why did good things happen in this crazy world. Number three, we said number one, he was very clear he did wrong. Number two, he did not get bitter because there are consequences. That's just part of the deal. Number three, he believed in the Lord's forgiveness. This is the big one I want to focus on. He says in verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Boom. Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Wow. Just like that. I've sinned. Boom, it's gone. Just like that. That's what God's forgiveness can do. It's amazing. In Psalm 136, it says 26 times, his mercy endures forever. He says it all over the Bible, but that one chapter in every verse, he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. The end it made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule the night, for his mercy endureth forever. And 26 times, he says, his mercy endures forever. See, God has this thing called mercy for us that doesn't give us what we deserve. He holds back his judgment. He says, I'll be merciful to you. His mercies are new every morning. And he has the ability to completely forgive us. He has the grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Wherever your sin is, there's this thing called grace. God's favor toward us is always greater than your sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that exceeds, grace that is greater than all of our sin. I know our sin is bad, and I know it's, and we talked about that, and we hit it hard. It's not the message, but understand, God's grace, which is his favor, he likes us, he wants us. That grace that he has is undeserved, and yet is always greater than our sin. He has mercy greater than your sin. He has grace greater than your sin, and he has love that's greater than our sin. Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were sinners, knowing all of our sin. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, before you ever born. He looked forward and saw every sin you ever commit and says, I love you anyway, and I'll never stop loving you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He has mercy for you. He has grace for you. He has love for you. And all three of those things are greater than your sin. He can completely forgive you. And David believed in God's forgiveness. He didn't just sit there and say, oh, I did so bad. I murdered. I committed adultery. And the baby died because of it. It didn't lay on the ground. The wicked fall into mischief. He said, God forgives. And he went and he worshipped. Why? Because he believed in the forgiveness of God. In Psalm 51, he sang about it. And we'll be back at this psalm a couple times. So if you can keep your finger there. He talks about the greatness and how God will completely cleanse. In verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones which thou hast broken, consequences, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Psalm chapter 103. Now let me take you to Isaiah. I'm going to read you out of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. You don't have to turn there if you don't like. He believed that God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's mercy were greater than his sin. He accepted God's forgiveness and he worshiped God because God was so good. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There it is again. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you've ever been where the snow comes down thick, and you go into an area where it's snow covered everything. We don't get that very often here. But you walk out on a morning maybe and it's a solid layer of snow. It's covering the ground. You walk out there and it is blindingly white. You can get snow blindness from it. When I go in the area like that, I have to wear sunglasses. My eyes are sensitive to light. And it is so white. And it's so beautiful. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, crimson, they're purple and bright and blotched and gross, they shall be as white as snow. God's mercy is not this weak forgiveness that erases the chalkboard, but you can still see the letters. He burns up the chalkboard. He completely makes you white as snow. Not, okay, I forgive you, but if you ever do that again, I'm remembering. No. White as snow. White as wool. God says, if you will come to me, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God's cleansing does not leave stains. It's perfectly white. It's hard for us to conceive that. We don't have that ability. We have a hard time forgiving. We remember God does not. Psalm 103. See, they underestimate how great God's mercy is, that it endures forever, how great His love is, that nothing can separate us. We underestimate the power of His grace that's greater than our sin. We underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The power of the cross, when the Savior of the world said, "It is finished." When He says you're washed white as snow, you've got to have the faith to believe that you may not be able to forgive yourself, though you can't forget it. The Almighty God of the universe says you are white as snow. Get back up. Yes. Psalm 103. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. You can be northwest or northeast or southwest or southeast or any of those things. You cannot be east-west. As far as the east is from the west, they are opposites. They never meet. They're eternally separated. So far hath He removed our transgressions from us. They are no longer connected to you. You're washed white as snow. And you're like, oh God, I'm so, you can never use me because I did this. God says, you did what? You know, I did this. You confess that already. God says, what are you talking about? You know, I did this. No, I don't know. You're as white as snow. Now, you might limit yourself, and you might wallow there, and you might lay down and say, God can never use me again. I'm so wicked and so unworthy. But God's saying, what is He talking about? I don't know those sins. Why didn't He get back up and let me use Him? That's what He says. Do not glorify your sins and say they're greater than God's grace. God's grace and God's love and Jesus Christ's blood is more powerful than any of your sins. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. He believed in God's forgiveness, so he got back up and he worshipped. People struggle with this. They struggle with forgiveness. They struggle with guilt. They struggle. And listen, I'm hard on sin. I preached on it. I got half people mad at me. Fine. Listen, until you realize the badness of your sin, you don't realize the greatness of God's love. And you realize we love Him because He first loved us. When you realize how offensive the sin is to God, and you realize how great His love was towards you in spite of that, we love Him because He first loved us. And then you joy and you worship and you say, what a God that can forgive me for this. I'm going to serve that God. I'm not going to live alone and say, I can't do anything. And help us. The just man falls 7 times and rises up again. The wicked fall into mischief. Now that, by the way, is only for born again saved people. Without being saved, you don't have that forgiveness. You're under the judgment of God. God sees all of your sins. And you will not be forgiven. You will not go to heaven without Jesus Christ. I'll be a good person. Your sin is offensive. It must all be removed, and your goodness will not remove it. If I got accused of murder and I murdered somebody, I went to the judge and the judge says, you're guilty. I said, well, yeah, I killed him. But judge, you know, I help poor people. And I'm very nice. And I do a lot of good things. I gave $10,000 to charities last year. I killed him, but here's five good things. Five, one. See you later. Your bad does not go away because you do good. The bad has to be paid for. Your sin has to be paid for. Your goodness will never pay for it. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross, because he paid for our sins when he had no sin. He died for our sins. And if you'll accept him as Savior, you have that relationship of forgiveness. Now you become his child. You're born again. Positionally, you're saved, going to heaven. But you got to confess your sins in order to have the relationship right. When my children are born, they are my children no matter what. Doesn't mean you have a good relationship. Okay, they're my children no matter what. When you get saved, you're God's child no matter what. Does not mean you have a good relationship with him. You got to confess your sins for another relationship. Listen, God's forgiveness is greater than your sin. David accepted that. He said, Nathan said, God's put away your sin. He said, oh, I'm going to go worship God. He prayed for the child not to die. He prayed for no consequences. And sometimes God's merciful and doesn't give us what we deserve, as it said in Psalm 103. But in the end, he said, Lord, you're a good God, and thank you for forgiving. And Lord, I'm going to see that child again. I'm going to get back up. The last thing, after he believed in the Lord's forgiveness, he got back up. For in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 51. We saw that he got back up and went into God's house and worshipped. Psalm 51 and verse 10. By the way, I don't think, have you got mad at me? Not that it matters. Psalm 51. And verse 10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Say, God, forgive me, and I'll go let you use me again. I'll go do your work again. A just man falleth seven times and rises up again. The wicked fall into mischief. All right. If you've never fallen, awesome. I need to talk to you after the service, and I need you to tell me some things and teach me some things, okay? Please. But if you're like the rest of us, it's not a matter. And by the way, when you get godly and understand the scripture and go to church a lot and have a walk with God, you do a lot less. I understand that, and that's true. But listen, what determines whether God uses you again is not whether you fall, it's what you do when you fall. Do you get back up? You say, I just don't, not even worthy to come back to church. You aren't worthy to walk into church the first time. Neither was I. We're just sinners saved by grace. We deserve nothing but hell. God's just good to us. It's by the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. I don't come to church because I'm worthy. I go to church because God tells me to, because I need it. But I want to say this. You got to get back up. You got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And by the way, the process of being honest about your sin changes your life. I'll finish with this. Here's a sin. You do something terrible. You don't confess it. You hide it. You do not prosper. Your life's not blessed. You're not close to God. You don't have the joy of the Lord. Everything's wrong. Okay? You confess it. You understand forgiveness. And you marvel at God's goodness. You say, Lord, thank you so much for forgiving me. And now you're going to use me again. And what you do is you fall more in love with him. And you become a better Christian because you love him. Because you understand what he did for you. You understand the cross paid for your sins. You understand how much he loves you. You understand his grace and mercy. And you love him because he first loved you. The confession of sin and the honesty about it. The Bible says, he will, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The process of being honest about your sin makes you deal with it and you become a better Christian because you deal with your sin and your life is changed. Everything about confession and believing in God's forgiveness makes you, people say, oh, if God just forgives you, just keep on doing it. No, it changes you, the process that God gives. That very process of confessing to God is transforming and makes you a different person and makes you love God. And makes you not want to do that anymore. And you become a good Christian because one, he cleanses you when you're honest. And two, you love him. And who is he that keeps his commandment? He that loves him. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you love him for his forgiveness, you don't want to do it again. You don't want to sin anymore. But the people who are not being honest and not just telling God, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I sinned. Versus this thing now we have. I probably shouldn't have done that. That's not confession. Probably should have done that was you picked the wrong card in bingo. Okay? That's probably should have done that. Okay? Sin is sin. This was wrong. It's honesty. And by the way, if you don't admit it, you're doing, you're going, you can't see me! Just like your kids do. He knows about it anyway, but you need to confess it. You need to confess it. It's good for you. He already knew about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray today that our minds will be right because we get forgiven and get back up. Because we're honest about things. Lord, there's such wonderful forgiveness and grace. It's so much, it's such a wonderful knowledge. It's too wonderful for me to know you forgive us. I pray, Lord, that we'd be honest and you'd forgive us and create in us a clean heart because we're honest. And I pray, Lord, that today we would be honest about these things and then believe that you have the power to wash us white as snow. And may we get back up after that. Thank you for your word that shows these things. Thank you for David. He was able to write wonderful, beautiful psalms after this and be used by you after being a murderer. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. It's that great that you show us through this life and many other stories in the Bible. Thank you. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano's going to play. Let's stand.